100 second tries. Darling, I know what you're talking about. But the night will fall and the heart will call, and I will hold you close. Make you feel alive again. I'll make you feel. Tumbling down. How much time, how long will it take? Pull your love out of the lost and found. Well, these hearts are on loan. There's no
Alive Again
off David Starr's new record entitled Alive Again. This is Willie Chicken, and we are at KVNF. We have a special guest today. Dave's going to be playing a couple songs, and we're going to be talking about his new album. So this record seems really professional and nicely produced. What was the process like?
The whole idea behind this album, I did it in Nashville. Most of the CDs that I've released, all of them, to this point, I've recorded in my home studio and either played all the instruments, or when I did it with the guys in the band, everybody came up to the studio, we did it there. So it was more of an in-house process. This project started out as me going to Nashville, being referred by a friend of mine in the business down there to, you know, you want to get your songs listened to, you need a good demo, but it needs to be done the way we do them in Nashville, sort of his take on it. And so I went down there with the idea that I'd cut some songs as demos, try to get those to some publishers, see if we could get some interest in the songs. As time went on and I got several songs put together, I thought, you know, if nobody listens to these as demos, I ought to do something with them as a CD. So the way it all worked out, you know, I just booked a good studio, and they had in-house players that they had booked for that day, and it worked out great. And then the second time I went in, I asked for the same guys and got pretty much the same set of players. So
you were saying that you didn't play really a note on this record. You had the studio guys come in and do it. And then so how did who did the arranging? Did you come in after the tracks were laid down and sing over it? Did you give them a vocal demo and they came back and played over it?
It was a combination of things, but by and large, all of these songs had been recorded in some form or another by me already, either at home. Well, all of them in my home studio. So some were just guitar vocal demos. Some were fully cut already that I'd done on another CD or mine or two, and I wanted to recut them. But what was fun is, first of all, I sat down with a guy that runs the studio, and his role as a guy that runs what's essentially a really efficient demo studio in Nashville is to sit down with somebody like me and go, okay, here's your song. Yeah, it's fine, but let's fine tune it a little bit. A good example is if a song has a guitar lick in there as sort of a recurring riff, he says, does it really need to be there four times? Let's mm-hmm. knock it back to two times. You know, don't.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that is pairing it back for radio, so it's, you know, 3.5 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because on commercial radio, you want to keep it fairly brief, and if you want to get played, that's what you got to do. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, so I was okay with that, and it was kind of fun because I let him. You know, he and I sat down on one occasion in person. On another occasion, we did it via Skype, six songs a pop, you know, for the full 12. And he would say, okay, and here, you know, there was one song. He said, you got three verses here. Sounds like to me you're kind of saying the same thing in the third verse you were saying in the second. Do we really need that in there? And I said, you know, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
So good. He just had good ideas about how to trim the fat on the songs.
Yeah.
And then we would sit down in the studio, all the guys gathered in the control room. He'd say, okay, guys, this song's called Alive Again. Here's David's version from his first album. Let's listen to a little of that. Here's the chart we put together. They'd watch the chart. They'd listen to literally maybe a minute of my version of the song. And then it was like a huddle. He'd go, okay, everybody got it? Break.
Wow.
They'd all go to their corners of the, you know, studio, close the doors, count to four, and that was it, you know, and that's what those guys do well down there. They do it all the time,
yeah.
And they've got a good system, and it works really well. Mm-hmm. So what was fun was just letting go of the songs and letting them do what they were going to do. So as time went on, it was pretty clear to me I could have gone in and played drums or guitar on something, but there wasn't any point in that.
Yeah.
They had it covered. So.
Music City.
Yeah. So singer-songwriter, I sang and wrote the songs. That was that.
Wow. Is it true that Alive Again is climbing the charts in the UK?
Well, one of the guys that played on the record, Tommy Harden, who's in addition to playing in the studio, he plays drums with Reba McEntire's road band. He and the guitar player Jeff King are both in Reba's band. He was telling me, he said, you need to get this stuff released in the UK. And I said, how do you do that? And he said, here's this guy, write him a note, get in touch with him. He's got a service that pushes the songs to the DJs in the country. So, you know, you spend a little money with the guy. It's not a lot of money, but it gets you on this monthly release CD. So he and I picked that song. He said, no, that's a good, strong one to start with. So let's put it out there and see what happens. So it wasn't a real formal process except, you know, that's what he does is promotes records to radio stations in the UK. So gave him all the information, emailed him the track. A couple of weeks went by, and he wrote me a note, and he said, okay, on Sunday night, this chart comes out, and that'll tell you whether this thing's getting played or not. So it started at 25, went to 20, went to 17. As of last Sunday, which was, what was that, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, it was number 13.
That's
so
exciting.
On Sunday, the chart comes out again. It'll either go up or it'll go down or disappear or whatever, but it's cool, you know?
Yeah, so, it is. So it's kind of like fishing. You need to buy good bait.
Yeah, and it's been kind of fun. Actually, Tommy Harden, who I mentioned earlier, he's got a band with his wife called Lost Hollow, kind of an Americana folk group, and they've got a song on that same chart. Theirs went to number 5 before it started going backwards. So it's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's also badass.
Well, if you say it is, I'm going with that.
I think it
is. Yeah, okay. All right.
I'm excited to hear some acoustic takes of these songs. Let's do one.
All right, this is a song. It's called My Favorite Color, and it's on the CD as well. It's played up pretty rich and big on the record. Dan Dugmore played steel guitar on this song, and I'd never heard a steel guitar in my head on this song until we counted to four and he played. And anybody that's been listening to Linda Ronstadt or James Taylor or Dan Fogelberg over the last 30, 40 years... Dan Dugmore played on all that stuff, Blue Bayou, all those tunes. So,
great.
But he just happened to be the guy, you know, I drew that straw that day, and he was there, and it worked. So, anyway.
Well, I carried that torch until it burned me up. Then I burned you with it too. Didn't know the price would be so high, just to make a dream come true. The laws of attraction, gravity and time, mislead the heart and dull the head, make it hard to see the trouble that we're in. Till it's too late, bad blood has been shed. But across my heart, my love was true. You were wrong about me, I was wrong about you, baby. Across my heart, but you saw right through. I guess you know by now, my favorite color must be blue. Seems the more we talk, the less we know. And all my perfect phrases fly away. No words of wisdom could ever do this justice. Sometimes there's nothing left to say. But across my heart, my love was true. You were wrong about me, I was right about you. Across my heart, but you saw right through. I guess you know by now, my favorite color must be bluer than the ocean or the skies of Santa Fe. Eyes that see the darkest heart, I had to look away. Yeah. Across my heart, but you saw right through. I guess you know by now, my favorite color must be blue. My favorite color must be blue. My favorite color must be blue.
That's really nice stuff, and the album has a lot of great players and a lot of nice subtleties, I think. I gave it a listen last night. And I'm really curious about the this recording process, because I think more and more these days people are just kind of making records in their basement or on their...
They're doing it in Nashville, too,
or on their computer.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of po-boying it, whatever they have. So what was the studio like? Was it an analog setting, or did you do it digital, or...
Well, it was you know, done, all the recordings were done on a Pro Tools system. But oddly enough, the Beard Music Group where I recorded is a fairly modest studio by big studio standards, because their prime thing is doing demos. But if I were going to do another record and I had a pretty good budget, I'd go back there again tomorrow, because it was a great experience. They're good people. They worked real efficiently, you know, but in terms of the kind of gear they had, they didn't have a big $75,000 or $200,000 board, any of that stuff. They had a fairly modest, large format Mackie console with lots of nice tube front end stuff. You know, the drums. One of the advantages to having a studio like they've got is the gear that they've got there stays set up all the time. So when you go in, the drum sound is there. You know, Eddie Bear, Tommy Harden, some of those guys will come in and they'll bring their own snare drums. But by and large, it's a plug-and-play deal, and those guys plug in and they've just got a good sound all the time, you know. So it was not a real over-the-top, you know, it's not one of those studios you're going to look at the mixer and go, God, that thing goes on forever, 96 channels, all that stuff. It wasn't like that. They had three suites. They had a suite where I did vocals, which was a small just a suite with a nice mic that fed into a control room with a control surface and a nice Universal Audio front end, a tube pre and a compressor. And then they have a separate suite for mixing. But it was a great experience, one-stop shop kind of a deal, and it worked out really well.
Nice. And you're listening to KVNF. This is Willie Chicken with David Starr. Let's just get back into it. Let's hear another one.
Okay. I have a question for you. What's the significance of the name Willie Chicken?
My mom was a hippie.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. You know, I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much.
This is called Don't Take It All. And this song, if it's I tried to use the visualization, just kind of this old front porch. It could be a front porch you're driving by out here in the country someplace, and there's the car sitting in the driveway, and you can tell it's running because there's some exhaust coming out of the thing, and it's cold outside, and the guy and the woman are on the front porch, and they're kind of having a discussion, a spirited discussion, if you will. And it's not going well for him, mm-hmm. You know. It's not going to end well for him. Mm-hmm. It's called Don't Take It All. Well, I'm sure you picked your destination. You got friends along the way. They'll leave the light on and they've told you, stay as long as you need to stay. That old car we bought together, it's loaded down with our memories. There's a redhead sleeping on the seat, looks just like me. Never seen you beg before, always been above it. Now I'm down here on the floor, don't it break your heart? See a blind man crawl. Honey, don't take it all. My sins ain't nothing like they used to be. Since I put that bottle down, I'm working hard so you can trust me. My old friends stopped coming round. Now you're saying it's too late for us. You're a broken boat without a sail. Well, I keep asking for forgiveness. You keep hammering that nail. Never seen me beg before. I've always been above it. Now I'm down here on the floor. Don't it break your heart? See a blind man crawl. Honey, don't take it all. Say things have to fall apart when they cannot hold together. Well, I'm guessing this is nothing more than a little nasty weather. But if you leave me this way, I'm gonna fade away. I'm sure you picked your destination. You got friends along the way. Well, I'll leave the light on like I told you. Stay as long as you need to stay.
Great. And what was the title of that one again?
Don't Take It All.
By David Starr from his new record, Alive Again. Really great stuff, David.
Thank you.
I love the writing. It's very full. So you've probably been writing songs for few years now, it seems.
Quite a while. I don't remember when I started doing it. I think everybody that plays wants to write at some point, whether they just write down poetry or write a three chord hey baby kind of song or whatever. But yeah.
And do you find that your writing has changed or evolved, or?
I've gotten better at it. You know, delivering a message. You know, part of this process of going to Nashville and fooling with that whole machine down there and just nibbling around the edges that I've done is that there's an entire mindset about writing there that's different perhaps than what I grew up with, which is you write when you feel like writing, you know.
Yeah.
There's the whole, you get up every day and you write and you make appointments to write and you meet with other people and you write and you beat it to death. And a lot of times a really good song will come out of that. And then I think sometimes really good songs just come out of nowhere and you just have to catch them. You just have to be aware and in the moment enough to write them down and catch them. And I'm notorious for thinking of stuff at 3 a.m. and going, I'll write that down when I get up.
Right, and then going back to
it's
bed.
Gone,
it's gone.
You know? So there's I've tried to get more disciplined about it. I'm not there yet, but hopefully the songs have gotten, you know, most of the feedback I've gotten down there has been reasonably good. You know, there's, I don't know if you follow the Nashville, sort of the internal press down there and about the back and forth about the songs down there and how there's too much pickup truck, cut off short, beer drinking stuff on the radio. And it seems that way to me, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's not my thing, but.
I have some family down in Nashville, and really once you dig into Nashville, the people are writing songs about everything down there.
Yeah, and it's really fertile ground for talented people who are writing music. And so, you know, I think it's important not to get caught up in the machine to the point that you're, you know, that you can't do anything, that you're paralyzed.
Yeah. Just like to say we're glad that you're writing songs here at KVNF. If you want to hear some more stuff, just go to David Starr's store in Cedar Edge or check them out online. And
if you just want to listen to the songs all the way through, you can go to davidstarrmusic.com and click on the little music tab, and there's a player there, and you can listen to them all the way through.
Oh, great. So, what are you going to play for us next?
Well, this is a song. It's a good example of just a little idea being proposed, or not even as a song title, but just hearing something and taking it and doing something with it. And there's a lady in Little Rock, Arkansas, where I used to live, named Amy Garland, and she's actually, as we speak, probably on the air at KABF Community Radio down there doing her show called Backroads. And about 18 months ago, we were talking about her new CD she was working on. She said, I'm about ready to do this thing. And she said, in fact, I'm way past ready to get this thing done. So I said, can I use that? And so it was her song title idea, and then I had her pitch in and help with the last verse. So this is kind of the idea was to write a theme song for her show called Backroads, and it's kind of a bluesy country show that she does, real rootsy tunes. And so I took it and tried to do something with it, and it turned out pretty good. It's kind of country. So, you know, that was kind of the theme of the record, I think. But it's called Way Past Ready.
It's been a long, long time since I've been alone with you. And I've been missing all the things, honey, that we used to do. And all that stuff about the heart growing fonder, baby, that's all true. And I'm way past ready just to be with you. It don't matter to me where we spend the night. Well, I'm not looking for a five-star deal. I just want to hold you tight. The county fair, old town square, any old place will do. 'Cause I'm way past ready just to be with you. Well, I'm way past ready to hold you tight. Way past ready for a full moonlight. Bring your drop-top Chevy and your bathtub gin. Count on me and you're bound to win. And these moonlit nights made for you and me.
had about enough of this stop sound town. That's right, honey, I'm through, and I'm way past ready to be alone with you. Well, I'm way past ready to hold you tight, way past ready for the full moonlight. Bring your drop top Chevy and your bathtub gin. Bet on me and you're bound to win. It's been a long, long time since I've been alone with you. Yeah, I've been missing all the things, honey, that we used to do. But that love got the heart growing fonder, honey, that's all true. Well, I'm way past ready just to be with you. Well, I'm way past ready just to be with you. Well, I'm way past ready, honey, just to be with you.
Yeah. All right. Did she end up using that song for her radio show?
Yes.
Excellent.
I'd like to think she's playing it right this very
minute. She might be.
I mean, how weird would that be?
Stranger things have happened.
I got a little tongue-tied there at one spot, but I'm fine. Don't worry.
Okay.
In case you were following along.
I got a little nervous.
You were scared, weren't you?
I was a little bit.
It happens, you know.
You were talking about songs, and something I'm always curious about, like artists who do certain things, like painters. They create a painting, or if your art is carpentry, you build a house. Songwriting is kind of this abstract art.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always curious about how you think your songs are kind of going to exist in the future and carry on. Like, where do songs go?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I was listening to an old Joni Mitchell live album the other day. I had it on while I was at work, and somebody's yelling out of the... She's tuning her guitar between songs. You can hear the crowd, and they're restless, and somebody yells something to her, and I don't know what they yell, but she said, you know, that's kind of the difference between the visual arts and the performing arts. She said, no one ever said to Van Gogh, like, paint a starry night again, man.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think if you write music and you're a singer and a songwriter, it's something you kind of have to do to get it out, you know? So that's kind of secondary to just getting it out in the first place, but I'd like to think that if you do a good job and you record it well and preserve it for posterity, maybe it'll mean something to somebody. You know, it's just a little bit that these songs have been out there. I've had a couple of people write me and say, you know, that spoke to me or it meant something to me. And I was in California last month, and I did some small venues and some house concerts with my friend Nathan McEwen. And the nicest thing anyone said to me was, you write good songs. You know, that's it. I was happy with that.
Yeah.
He said, you're singing good and you're writing good songs. And I said, well, that's what mm-hmm. I'm trying to do. So that's its own reward, I guess. It'd be nice to make a bunch of money doing it. But
yeah, it's kind of a personal relationship you have with the song.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm gonna be gone someday, and my grandson will go, well, what did granddad do? I'll go, well, he did this. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have it. So that's kind of cool.
Great. Well, thank you so much, David.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate your interest.
And that's David Starr, and his new record is Alive Again. You've been listening to KVNF. Adios.
Adios.